I would now like to run through some housekeeping arrangements. Is this something that I have to do again? Please note that this meeting is being recorded and the sound recording will be made available on the Council's website under the Openness of Local Government Bodies regulation. People may film, record, tweet or blog this meeting, and this is outside the Council's control. If you are curious why councillors are looking at their screens, it is because a number of them are using their tablet devices to access their agenda papers. I would also like to remind councillors that the other people attending the meeting and the other people attending the meeting, that the fire exits are to the rear and the side of the room. There are no fire alarm tests planned for this evening. Could I also ask that everyone turns off their mobile phones or switches them to silent so that the meeting is not disturbed? Okay. There are a couple of announcements I want to make before I go to my chaplain. This is the first time I've been available to meet Rob, our new chief executive, and we need to be mindful that this is his first council meeting. So let's make it a memorable one. No, don't. But I would also like to give a very warm welcome back to Charnwood for Councillor Susan Gerrard after the recent by-election result. Welcome, Sue. Right, apologies. Sorry. Oh. Back to here. Oh, I will now... Sorry, Tim. I will now ask my chaplain, Reverend Tim Day, to say the prayers to open the meeting. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, councillors, officers of Charnwood Borough Council, thank you again for this privilege and opportunity to speak for a few moments and to lead us in prayer. I was writing an article for our local Thurmaston Times paper over the weekend. It's a wonderful local paper. Of course, it's for the Christmas issue, and so I was reflecting on the run-up and the plans and the preparations for our Christmas services and events, something that taxes clergy people at this time of year. It struck me that the run-up to the weeks leading up to Christmas this year will be somewhat different. For a start, one of our church celebrations for our youth group in East Goscote will have to be rearranged or cancelled because, as you can guess, it was scheduled for December the 12th. I'm sure that's a date that's significant to all of you here this evening. The church will be used as a polling station and so unavailable for the day. Well, unless you were around in December 1923, then this December will be a new experience for us all. I think it will be interesting to see how shopping, parties, Slade, and political debate and canvassing will coexist this year. It brings a whole new angle to the lyrics. So here it is, Merry Christmas, everybody's having fun. Of course, this weekend we're also preparing for the annual Remembrance Parades on Sunday. And the two events, Remembrance and the December election, are, I believe, intrinsically linked. For without the sacrifice of so many people in two world wars in particular and many other conflicts around the world, then perhaps our privilege of exercising our democratic right to choose would not be possible. So this evening I would like to offer a prayer, Madam Mayor, for our giving thanks for our Parliament and its members, for those who are preparing to put their heads above the parapet and stand for office again, and for those who are standing down at this election, and of course for those who paid the ultimate price to ensure that we have that freedom to choose. Let us pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for our democratic freedom, for those who serve our nation in the Houses of Parliament. Lord, we give you thanks for all members of Parliament who are standing down this December, for the service that they have offered. And we pray for all those who are preparing to contest this forthcoming election, for those who will support them throughout the campaign. We pray particularly for their safety as they meet with people in our communities. And so let us also remember before God and commend to his sure keeping those who have died for their country, those whom we knew and whose memory we treasure, and all who have lived and died in the service of others. Loving and compassionate God, we give thanks for all who have laboured for liberty, freedom, and justice, for those who have made the ultimate sacrifice, for those who in life and death have preserved our living. Grant that they may rest in your peace, and that we, through our actions, may be found worthy to inherit and use wisely the freedom that they have won for us. Amen. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Apologies have been received from Councillor Baines, Rowlands, Charles and Palin, and Honorary Alderman Bush and Stott. If councillors have any other apologies, please press your button to indicate. Item 2, are disclosures of pecuniary and personal interest. I will now call on the Chief Executive to report on disclosures of interest in the business to be considered at this evening, which have already been made by councillors.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I've received the following disclosures from Councillor Poland, Councillor Shepherd, Councillor Fryer, Councillor Seaton, Councillor Radford, Councillor Taylor, Councillor Meir, and Councillor Parton, all in respect of item 8.1, declaring a personal interest as members of Leicestershire County Council. Additionally, Councillor Parton has declared an interest in item 10.2, again, a personal interest as a member of the Leicester County Council town team. Thank you.
Pressing your button, whether you have any interest to disclose at the business to be considered this evening. Councillor Morgan.
Madam Mayor, under 8.1 as a member of the County Council, which is also declared on our website. Thank you.
Similar, Madam Mayor, 8.1 as a member of Leicester County Council.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. 8.1, member of Leicester County Council.
There's no more names. Thank you very much. I'm now moving on to item 3. I move that the minutes of the meeting of the Council held on the 2nd of September 2019 be confirmed and signed as a correct record.
I second these, Madam Mayor.
I am now putting the motion to the vote. Can I see all those in favour? Against? Abstention? The motion is carried. I'm beginning to regret that I wanted to make so many announcements, but I will try my best. I would like to mention that Charnwood Council now have a mayoral Facebook page dedicated to the Mayor of Charnwood. A few of you have already liked the page and are following the updates about the arrangements I have been attending. The engagements I have been attending. However, I would like to encourage more of you to like the page, which you can find by searching Mayor of Charnwood on Facebook, and then sharing. I am delighted to report that Loughborough has won the gold at the Britain in Bloom finals. Earlier this year, the town was selected to represent the region in the small city category at the National Awards organised by the Royal Horticultural Society. This is the fourth time that Loughborough has been at the Britain in Bloom finals. The town was awarded gold in 2016, a silver gilt in 2014, and achieved gold and was named the category winner in 2012. Well done to the many community groups, residents, businesses and organisations in the town that made this possible. We are heading to a busy period. I have recently attended the Diwali Lights celebration, and fast approaching is the opening of Loughborough Fair on the 13th of November, and the big Christmas light switch on is taking place on the 24th of November. I encourage you all to attend either the Loughborough or Mount Sorrel Remembrance Day parades on Sunday the 10th of November. However, I do understand that councillors may attend a service which is in their local town or village. The Mayor's Community Carol Service is being held on Wednesday the 18th of December. It's a good job I'm not singing then, isn't it? At the All Saints and Holy Trinity Loughborough Parish Church. The service starts at 7 p.m. and it would be lovely to see as many of you there as possible. Thank you very much. And now I call upon the leader to make his announcements.
Madam Mayor, I would like to announce that I have appointed Councillor Sue Gerard. Again, congratulations to Councillor Gerard as the Older Persons Champion until May 2023. We now have a range of member champions for climate change, Councillor Needham, for tree planting, Councillor Howe, loneliness, Councillor Parson, and armed forces, Councillor Fryer. Thank you very much.
I call on the Chief Executive to make his announcements.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have no announcements to make.
I am now moving on to item 5, which is the item for petitions. I am aware that Councillor Ward has recently attended a climate strike event within Loughborough and wishes to present messages from residents asking for the council to take action on climate change. The messages are to be treated as a petition. Are there any other petitions to be presented? Thank you. If Councillor Ward wants to speak, could you press your button, please? Thank you. Councillor Ward.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On Friday the 27th of September, I joined over 100 Charnwood residents in Loughborough Town Centre on a climate strike organised by the UK Student Climate Network. Over 7 million people participated in that strike globally, 300,000 of which were in the UK. The purpose of the strike was for global citizens to demand action to be taken on climate change by governments and local authorities. As part of the climate strike in Loughborough, participants were invited to write messages on post-it notes to let their local authority, in this case Charnwood Borough Council, know what action they would like to see taken on climate change locally. I have those messages here and I would like the Mayor to accept them on behalf of the Council and for the Council to respond to those messages. I'd also like to thank Karen Widowson for her support in facilitating this. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Ward, and can I state that the petition will be considered and responded to in accordance to the Council's petition scheme. Thank you. Thank you, Carol. Item 6.1, Investment Strategy, page 14. I call on Councillor Barclay to propose the item.
To provide additional clarity to the extant capital strategy and to enable the Council to increase the range of its investment activities, I move that the proposal set out at Appendix B to the report of the Strategic Director of Corporate Service, attached as an annex on pages 38 to 39, are adopted and incorporated into the extant capital strategy.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. I second this item and reserve my right to speak. Thank you.
If any councillors would like to speak, please press your buttons. Councillor Draycott.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I found the report very interesting, and I believe it's a relatively new requirement on the Council. The report states since 2018 the Council has had at any one time between £36 to £60 million of income invested, a lot of money. It also mentions over £500,000 of income raised, all on page 19, Madam Mayor. A question, if I may, to the Cabinet Lead. The report states, also on page 19, about the property portfolio being somewhat piecemeal and that we have no investment strategy. Looking at the report's proposals in Appendix B, we're being asked to approve £10 million to expand the property portfolio, which is good. I do know a few other councils are already doing this. An example I was told about recently was the borough of Seven Oaks, or whether it's a town, I'm not quite sure. They've actually brought a garage and a supermarket. I think this is food for careful thought, no pun intended, Madam Mayor. I do not see, though, why Cabinet have amended the report so as to allow acquisitions outside of the borough. What is wrong with local? With all the current development taking place in Loughborough and Charnwood, is there no opportunity to do just that? That's my first question, Madam Mayor. Finally, I do, though, welcome also the £10 million going into the capital plan for the housing development company. Could the Cabinet Lead also inform Council when all members can input into this process? Labour Group is keen that social housing will be included, that the properties, for example, are zero carbon standard. It was a shame that the original zero rated carbon home standard set by the last Labour government was scrapped by the Conservative Party in 2015.
Thank you, Councillor Draycott.
Thank you. If I could have those answers, that would be appreciated. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
I call on Councillor Barclay to sum up. Oh, sorry, Councillor Fryer.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. Well, I wholeheartedly support this, and I think it's a very good investment strategy. Councillor Barclay will answer the technical questions. We are sometimes criticised in this Council that we don't invest in things. Well, this proves that we do, but we do it with care. We don't do it piecemeal and without absolute care. It is not our money. It is the residents of the borough's money that we are investing. I'll let Councillor Draycott's question regarding investment outside the borough to Councillor Barclay. I know of other places that do invest outside their borough or county or town. You take the best investment you possibly can. And I know of some Labour governments and councils and councils that also do the same and invest outside their council or borough. Thank you very much, Madam Mayor, and of course I will be supporting this.
Councillor Fryer. Now I call on Councillor Barclay to sum up.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is simply an extension of the instruments we can use to invest in. Councillor Draycott has alluded to between 60 million and 36 million worth of funds that we hold. The majority of this is held actually on behalf of Leicestershire County Council, the Fire Authority, the Police Authority. We do have an investment strategy. We do, if you look through the report, Councillor Draycott, you'll see it actually lists the properties, the commercial properties we have and the returns that we get on them. You alluded to the fact that we'd increased our investment income from 337 to 540,000 over the last year, an increase of 203,000. As far as housing is concerned, we have policies on that. We also have a climate change policy, which has been, oddly, the opposition seem to ignore, and the achievements that will be pointed out and the question that's been asked later on. No doubt that has come to you. We very much support climate change. It has got to be gradually phased in. We can't ban everybody having boilers in their houses immediately. We can do it. But there is substantial progress being made after the last 5 years. This is nothing new. This is just increasing the investments that we can make. The report itself clearly outlines that any investment we make will be subject to due diligence, it will be subject to scrutiny, and anything that we do or any investment will go through the scrutiny process. So that will be your opportunity to input, and we welcome it. I'm not averse to scrutiny having their input into it. It isn't just a sort of arena for criticism, it's actually to add value to what we're doing. And essentially, that's what we're trying to do. We know that we face financial challenges. There's not rocket science here. It is a long report, I grant you. Well worth a read, though, Councillor Draycott. And all your questions are really answered within there to a greater or lesser extent. But an excellent report, and I thank our officers for taking the time to point out all the risks and the benefits. And there's no doubt about it. You don't get increased returns without increasing the risk. But it's being risk-aware rather than risk-averse and having the courage to try and help yourselves. And, as I said, anybody who has any other ideas they want to put forward, please do through the Scrutiny Commission. And we would welcome them, because we definitely need to try and help ourselves increase the income. And not we've done it to a certain extent, but we need to do as much as we can. Thank you, Madam Mayor. That's all I have to say.
I'm now putting the motion to the vote. Could I see those in favour? Those against? Abstentions? The motion is carried. Call in references. There has been no call in references from scrutiny. Item 8 is a position statement. There is one position statement on the agenda for tonight's meeting. The statement was requested by the Labour Group regarding a unitary status update. The statement is printed in the supplements pack, page starting at 5. The purpose of the position statement is to enable the Council to discuss the administration's position on important topical issues that affect the Council or the Borough. At the end of the discussion, there is an opportunity for the Council to vote on whether the subject should be referred back to the Council, to the Cabinet, or to the appropriate committee for further consideration. Council isn't being asked whether it supports the statement or not. After the position statement is introduced, councillors who wish to speak can speak up to 2 minutes each, and the discussion can last for up to 20 minutes. I call on Councillor Morgan to introduce the position statement regarding a unitary status update.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. As councillors may be aware, the County Council has recently published a business case in relation to its proposal for a single new unitary council based on the County Council's boundaries. As council will appreciate from the previous update, any changes to the structure of local government can only be made by Parliament, by the introduction of statute, with a bill to abolish previous structures and to create a new authority. Such a procedure would require significant time and would require the support of MPs to carry it through the various stages to completion. It has been recognised that government is unlikely to proceed with such a process without the broad support of local MPs in the area and the backing of the majority of councils and councillors, both at county and district level. This is a position that the Secretary of State has reinforced today. All seven county MPs continue to express their opposition to the proposal put forward by the County Council. Most recently, on the 16th of October, in a letter to the leader of the County Council, copied to district leaders. To date, the County Council has acknowledged that there is currently no mechanism to progress their detailed business case proposal. We know that a detailed business case are time-consuming and expensive to produce, and the district council leaders have supported the MP's view that to expend up to £400,000 on an alternative proposal would be inappropriate at this time, given that there is currently no mechanism nor a burning desire by residents for structural change. If national policy changes as a result of the election on the 12th of December, then we will obviously react accordingly with any fresh Charnwood policy positions taken to Cabinet and Council. In the meantime, the seven district and borough councils in Leicestershire continue to work collaboratively to deliver high quality and efficient services to residents. It is the district and borough council's collective view that better and cheaper services can be delivered through greater collaboration while keeping services local to the people who use them.
Thank you
very much.
Councillors would like to speak. Please press your buttons. Or button. Councillor Mia.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I welcome Jonathan's response to the position statement, but I've just got one or a couple of queries and that I'd like to put to him, because obviously this isn't new. We've had it on the agenda for maybe 18 months from the County Council, and the first time around we batted it away, let's say, or the administration batted it away, saying nothing would happen. But it hasn't gone away. The County Council have recently put it through their scrutiny, put it through their cabinet. I've got updated reports from KPMG, I believe it is, for the business case, and then it's been produced again. I just wanted to ask the leader if he would think that consulting Charnborough councillors to the developments would have been prudent just before he made that response to say nothing would happen, because you've got to just have a look at the direction of travel of local authority funding, not just here in the districts and the boroughs, but also at county level. And we all know austerity is continuing and budgets are shrinking, and there's massive savings to be made. In our own budget, we've got near a £4.7 million shortfall in the MTFS in the next 3 years. So we're going to be looking at savings as well, and so is county. So there is a driver on this, but what intrigues me most is that the County Council is controlled by a Conservative administration, and most of the districts, bar Obi and Wigston, are controlled by Conservative administrations. So there is a massive driver, Conservative driver, at county. Are they not talking at that level? And if not, where's the breakdown? Is there a breakdown that we need to be aware of? But also, on another foot, I think we have to be proactive in this debate as well. We can't just bat away the County Council and not engage with them. We've got to be proactive, because if we're not proactive, events will overtake us. We're the largest district in Leicestershire. We have a lot of resources ourselves and a massive budget as well. Maybe we should be looking at potential ways of looking at reorganisation within Leicestershire, because I think it's coming. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think it's coming, so we better be proactive for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Tillerson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I also welcome the Leader's response. I have some experience in this area. I led Leicester as an officer through unitary status, so I've got a lot of experience of working with the County Council and their opposition to Leicester becoming a unitary. I think change is inevitable, ultimately, but that does not, and I stress, not mean a unitary Leicestershire County Council. There are other models that could be considered, which would keep services closer to local people, a north-west split, an east, a north-south split, an east-west split, for example, and I'm not promoting either of those because I've not looked in the detail. I do think that the consultant's report gave, having read it, gave the answer that Leicestershire were looking for, and I think a different consultant with a different brief would come up with a different answer. But yes, there are other models which could be considered. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Tillotson. Councillor Draycott.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. As has been said by Councillor Mayor, a lot of councils are under great financial pressures at the moment, and it seems in different scenarios that the only solution out of them is unitary status. The County Council's proposal talks about saving money and better services. It's what was mentioned about the district councils. I can assure you that changing to a unitary authority does not save any money, because what's never taken into account or up front is the redundancy costs and the pension costs. So you don't save money. And as for improved services, I mean, last week the current government is talking about doing away with the local authority role in planning applications, for example. What is going to be left? What services will actually be left? Labour Group's view is that what we're looking at, if this scenario works out and we don't have a Labour government, which I'm sure we will do on December the 12th, is that the new unitary authority, whether it's one or two, right, will be meeting once a year, literally to agree contracts, because there'll be no in-house services if austerity is to continue, Madam Mayor. And I think that the public aren't really interested in whether it's a county unitary authority or a district unitary authority. If we have to go down that road, people need to be talking together, and it needs to be for the interest of the residents of Charnwood and Leicestershire, not just about councils, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Draycott. I call upon Councillor Morgan to sum up.
Madam Mayor, I really hope your throat survives till the end of this evening, because otherwise we're all going to be in tears for you, I think. But thank you very much for all three responses. I think, to be honest, each of you presented a slightly different viewpoint on the same issue, and I think that's probably where we are on this issue, that everyone has a different experience and a different feeling about outcomes. I know Councillor Meir is passionately in favour of a single unitary. I know, Councillor Tillerson, that your experiences are very much towards slightly smaller unitaries. And Councillor Draycott, you quite clearly believe in the two-tier system and the fact that through greater collaboration, services can be kept local and people can be kept involved in those discussions. And I think that's partly where we are on this issue, that there are various different viewpoints. The point about you pay the... I literally have a phone call from one of my fellow district council leaders who's obviously listening in this evening and is probably telling me that I'm saying something wrong. The leader from Blaby can save his time. We do talk very closely together. In fact, I can remember we had in the room every single district leader plus the leader of the city council plus the leader of the county council literally seconds before the county council actually announced its proposals for unitary status. Unfortunately, they didn't actually raise it during the meeting. So discussions have to go both ways for that type of discussion to be useful and for those outcomes to genuinely benefit local people. And that's something that we will work towards, I will work towards. I pledge to work with all of the districts and the county and the city across Leicestershire, along with the MPs and all those that actually, whether it's with the NHS or other organisations, that work for our benefit of our residents, and I'll continue to do so. Thank you.
Just in time, Councillor Morgan. Well done. There is one motion on notice. Oh, I've turned the page too quick again. Oh, sorry. If councillors wish to do so, a motion with a reason can be moved to refer the subject of the position statement back to the Council, to the Cabinet, or to the appropriate committee. Councillor Mear.
Madam Mayor, I thought I'd respond to that as we requested it. I do believe that Scrutiny Commission have set up a panel to consider it. If they could be informed of Council's discussion, that would be more than welcome. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Mear. No scoping document has been produced as yet, but it is on the work plan for scrutiny early next year. Councillor Morgan.
Madam Mayor, given that this is a policy issue, I'd very much like to actually take it to Cabinet so the Cabinet can actually have a view on it, if that's okay, rather than actually going to scrutiny, because obviously I appreciate that has not been established yet, but Cabinet is more than happy to actually take this as a document.
To go to Cabinet. Thank you.
Thank you. There is one motion on notice on the agenda, pages 41 to 42. It's the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance's working definition of anti-Semitism. As a reminder, motions in this form can be debated and voted on by Council. The normal rules of debate apply, so councillors may speak for up to 3 minutes and amendments may be moved. I call on Councillor Boland to propose his motion.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I move the motion as set out on page 41 of the agenda papers. Do I make my comments now or do I do that at the end? Get guidance on that, please. No? Okay. Anti-Semitism is one of the oldest and most virulent forms of racism which plagues our world. On the 15th of October, the Secretary of State for Local Government, Robert Jenrick, wrote to every council in the country to ask them to adopt the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance's definition of anti-Semitism. The definition is not designed to be legally binding, but is an invaluable tool for public bodies to understand how anti-Semitism manifests itself in the 21st century. It demonstrates a commitment to engaging with the experiences of Jewish communities and supporting them against the contemporary challenges that they face. The IHRA definition of anti-Semitism is as follows. Anti-Semitism is a certain perception of Jews which may be expressed as hatred towards Jews. Rhetorical and physical manifestations of anti-Semitism are directed towards Jewish or non-Jewish individuals and or their property, towards Jewish community institutions and religious facilities. The Community Security Trust, a leading national organisation for monitoring and supporting victims of anti-Semitism, produced a report earlier this year showing anti-Semitic incidents increased in the first 6 months of 2019 by 10% from the same period in 2018. Over 100 incidents a month were reported for the third year in a row. This is something which should concern us all. In October 2016, the Commons Home Affairs Select Committee reported on anti-Semitism in the UK. Among the committee's recommendations were that, quote, that the IHRA definition should be formally adopted by the UK government, law enforcement agencies and all political parties to assist them in determining whether or not an incident or discourse can be regarded as anti-Semitic. I think it is also important to stress this motion is not about stopping any legitimate criticism of the actions or policies of the states of Israel. The IHRA definition specifically says criticism of Israel, similar to that levelled against any other country, cannot be regarded as anti-Semitic. This criticism, however, cannot be allowed to be a front for deeper anti-Semitic feelings, which so often comes from the extremes of our political spectrum. This definition is supported by over 30 governments worldwide, including the UK, Scottish and Welsh parliaments. Over 120 councils have adopted it, and I think it's time we in Charnwood joined them. I sincerely hope members on all sides of this chamber can support this motion so we can say with one voice, anti-Semitism has no place in our borough.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. Given that we are approaching the 75th anniversary of the end of the Holocaust, I support this motion and reserve my right to speak. Thank you.
Councillors would like to speak. Please press your buttons. Councillor Fryer.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. I am the daughter of an officer in the army who served for over 30 years, joining up in November 1940. I served myself for a few years in the Air Force, and I am your armed forces champion. I think it is very sad that this country has got to bring a motion like this to its residents and its councils. This should have died out many, many years ago. We lost thousands of good citizens of this country and our allies fighting anti-Semitism. I don't forget, and I don't think anyone in here, this room, should forget. I'm delighted that we brought this, but I am also sad that it's had to be brought to the attention of all councils in this country to support it. This should be automatic. Thank you very much, Madam Mayor.
You're right. Councillor Mayer.
Sorry, Madam Mayor. Just to say that the Labour Group supports this motion. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Councillor Morgan, you've reserved your right.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. Very well spoken, Councillor Poland and Councillor Fryer, and thank you very much, Councillor Mayor, for your comments. We join, hopefully, many councils. I know Leicester City have already passed this, and others in Derbyshire and elsewhere in Nottinghamshire. I hope, and it's the aim of the government, that every council across the country supports and passes this motion, because coming up to the 75th anniversary, as I mentioned, of the end of the Holocaust, I think it's important that we make a stand together. So I support this motion and hope that we can actually work together to make sure that prejudice is stamped out for good. Thank you.
Councillor Morgan, I call on Councillor Poland to sum up.
Nothing further to add, Madam Mayor, only to thank Councillor Fryer, Councillor Morgan and Councillor Mayer for their contributions and the support. Let's get this passed tonight and say, as I said at the beginning, that anti-Semitism is absolutely no place in our borough. Thank you.
I'm now putting the motion to the vote. Could I see all those in favour? Thank you. Those against? Abstentions. The motion is carried. Thank you, councillors. I'm now moving on to the enormous item 10, questions on notice. As a reminder, the questions that councillors have submitted and the answers to them are in the supplements pack. I will call on those councillors who have indicated that they wish to ask a supplementary question or make a statement. I need to remind you that the supplementary questions or statements must relate directly and exclusively to the questions submitted, and any other supplementary questions or statements will not be permitted. Each councillor will have 2 minutes to ask their supplementary question and or make their statement, and the councillor responding will also be able to speak for up to 2 minutes. Item 10.1 is climate change. Councillor Gerrard, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make a statement?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have the same trouble as you. I do not wish to make a further statement or further question. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Gerrard. Councillor Hunt, I would ask you at this moment, do you want to respond?
Madam Mayor, thank you very much. I have the voice to respond, but no response required. Thank you.
It's a good job I'm not going for the job of the Speaker, isn't it? Okay, so item 10.2 is town deals. Councillor Parton, who forgot to switch his mobile phone off, would like to ask. Yes, I did notice. Would you like to ask your supplementary question or make a statement?
The first statement to make is, A, I've got a voice, but seriously, to apologise, because I've got a new phone and I deliberately turned it to... If I could finish, please, I turned it to silent, so I don't know what happened. I've turned it off, but yes, I will give £5 to your charity, your choice, and to give my apologies to everybody. That was not planned, and I do sincerely apologise. Okay? You're very welcome. Now, the town's... It's not the town deal, it's the town's deal has been published, and here it is. Downloaded a copy. And so what I'd like to ask the leader is, could he provide any additional information about how it will benefit Loughborough? And you didn't see that coming, did you?
Councillor Morgan, would you like to respond?
I feel like somebody should be shouting, he's behind you. given that we're coming up to Panto season, that's probably appropriate. Actually, Panto in one mind. So one of the things that the town's deal, I'm going to refer to it as our town deal, I think, from this point onwards, that it covers is actually culture. So actually one of the things that we will be looking at is actually how we can make a significant impact on many of the things that our town here in Loughborough has to offer but could be made better. And we're still going through the initial programme that's been launched. As I mentioned to you, the prospectus was actually released literally minutes before the deadline for these questions. So we are still going through what's happening. Our chief exec, very welcome. Hopefully our first council has not shocked you. You will stay a bit longer. But our chief exec has already called a meeting of senior officers within the council to start going through the perspectives to actually work out what work we have to do and the deadlines that we have to work to. Our initial deadline is actually in November this month. where we have to respond to give a initial scoping of what we're going to do. And as you can see from the question, we have £162,000 initially to work on that early stage part of the process before we actually then move into a much more detailed brief in the early part of next year. That will be part of the process of drawing down the component parts towards the £25 million. I've said before, I want to make sure we get every single penny of that £25 million. We can use it well, we can use it effectively here in Loughborough to build up our infrastructure, to improve our connectivity, to improve our cultural, our drive down, our carbon use, to improve the streetscapes of our town, to actually bring life back into our retail elements. The list goes on, and my time's run out. Thank you very much, Madam Mayor.
Mr. Morgan. Item 10.3, licensing of houses in multiple occupation. Councillor Parton, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make your statement?
Please. Fire safety, which is just not funny, fire safety is the grudge purchase. And these are the words of the CEO of the UK's Fire Safety Accreditation Scheme, whose conference was at last week. And it's a criterion we need to instill in our licensing scheme. And the solution to the problem of our HMOs, which just never seems to go away, but just seems to get worse, especially in Southfields, needs addressing. So what are the other criteria? So let's ask our residents what the criteria are. And they'll tell you three things. They'll say bins, they'll say exteriors, and they'll say noise. Fire safety, internal, bins, exteriors, noise. These are the conditions that we and our residents can agree on. And all HMO landlords spending our money on fire safety packages, their money, would be a prerequisite for a full and thorough licensing schemes. Bins put out and bins put back in, tidy fronts and happy but not noisy, disturbance-causing residents. Now, soon the paper on licensing will arrive to the committees and to Cabinet, and I'm hoping that it will be as strict as this excellent scheme in other parts of the country, for example, our neighbours Nottingham, who actually have a picture of piles of rubbish on their front of theirs and how they've successfully addressed it. And landlords may grudgingly agree to pay lots of money on fire safety equipment, lots of money, but it's needed. But we all want to deliver fair solutions, and these are the criteria that we can agree on. And to the two lead members that will be delivering licensing through Cabinet, you have our overwhelming support.
Pardon. I'm sure that will reassure them. Councillor Smidovich, do you wish to respond?
Yes, Madam Mayor, thank you. Just very briefly, I didn't anticipate what was coming either. You did leave one other item off, though, your bins, the front gardens and the noise. The other very popular one that you hear me comment about frequently is parking. Cars, cars, cars. But the one thing I would like to say is that this is, we've had, 20 recommendations over the last 12 years? Well over 20, 15 from the last scrutiny panel and 5 from the one before. And what I've welcomed particularly over this long struggle to get this far is the support from all the colleagues from all parts of this chamber to get this through. And we're nearly there, not quite. And the crucial part, the words that stand out to me are evidence-based. So that will be the interesting one. But I do look forward to your continued support on this one. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Smidovich. Item 10.4, this is licensing of houses in multiple occupation. Councillor Draycott, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make your statement?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to make a statement and ask a question. This was a very serious incident that recently, well, it was heard in court recently, but it was a little while ago, and follows on actually from Councillor Parton's question. The answer, though, contradicts itself because at the top of page 8 it states that the council had not received a planning application for this property. Yet if you read the last paragraph, it clearly states that did happen. This serious incident found the property not safe to live in and tenants only having to depend on a WhatsApp group to raise their concerns and the many faults that they desperately needed to be resolved. As we all know, Madam Mayor, such forms of communication as WhatsApp does not beat direct communication or using the proper channels. The facts are this company made a number of applications over a period of time, all not complete. They were rejected and returned. It seems to me that the council's left hand is not knowing what the right hand's doing, and why wasn't that information passed over to the relevant officers? So my question, Madam Mayor, is could the Cabinet leave give assurances that whenever documents are received in this council that indicates a possibility of an HMO, that information is passed on to the licensing officers so that some note or some action can be taken. This time, there was no fatalities, Madam Mayor. Next time, it could be a much serious incident. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Draycott. Councillor Smidovich, would you like to respond?
Happy to respond. I can explain what the two contrasts seem to be. The properties in question were three-storey, and three storeys have needed a licence since 2012, if not before. So 2000, for many years, it's been operating undercover, as it were. When we sent the letters out under the new Act, the 2016 Housing Act, the response had come through. And by that time, of course, all the work that Darren Smith had undertaken, his residents and landlords were well aware of that. So this prosecution took place under the old laws as opposed to the new laws. That's why there's a slight difference. But there was plenty of correspondence that was sent out under the new law, that was responded to, but even then it wasn't complete. So the landlord had not complied for any year at all. I'd been saying for many years it's going to take one fire, and I do thank God that it wasn't more serious. But we now have the new 2016 Act, and the civil penalties are on the website. And I can assure you that if a property is found not to be complying, enforcement will take place. And I've also had, since the publication, support from landlords themselves writing to say they were delighted that this had finally come out in the open and they would welcome licensing. So that was from landlords already out there. So, yes, it's been quite a shock to the system for many people, but I think we need licensing, full stop.
Councillor Smidovich. The next item is 10.5 on council tax arrears. Okay. Councillor Christine Harris, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make your statement?
Statements, please, Madam. Carry on. Right. Firstly, thank you for your response. The chart is interesting. It took me a time to understand, and I had help from an officer. The accounts column isn't households, so one person or family could have 2 to 3 accounts in a year if they moved 2 or 3 times in that year, and the officer did say that this does happen quite regularly. One of the observations I made was that to get an overall view, just look at 2017-18 only, as the last part is 2019-20, isn't complete. Therefore, Loughborough had 32,813 in 17, rising to 33,704 in 18, but there were 3,000 less in 2019-20, but there will be many more accounts by the end of this tax year. The chart is misleading because it doesn't reflect what levels of debt are behind the figures. Another observation is that a person or family has one account for council tax for a particular property, and they can fall into debt for the tax for that property. If they move house, another account is opened, and they then have two accounts which follows them, and they and the two there are two debts in the same year and are followed by bailiffs. So please look carefully at it. As said, the response does not give a full answer for 3 years, as we can only consider 2017 and 2018. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Harris. Councillor Barclay, do you wish to respond?
I think a trend of the... I suggest that there's not too many people moving about in the borough if they are in council tax arrears. We've put a lot of work into this to try and help our residents. You can see, of course, we can't predict what's going to happen by the end of 31st March 2021, but the trend is very much downwards. We have put in place measures to remind people, and they've been quite successful, to pay the council tax when they fall into arrears. Nobody wants to see people falling into arrears with council tax. This council is making every effort to help those who do. And if they work with us, we will help them. And we have been quite successful in doing so. I think the table is actually... I didn't refer to an officer. The table seemed very straightforward to me. I understood it within about 30 seconds. And the numbers are there, and quite, you know, they're factual. There's no arguing with it. When does a year end? If your financial year is the 31st of March 2021, well, of course you're not going to be able to tell what happens by 2021. And even Councillor Harris hasn't got the sight of prophecy. We just don't know. But I would say let's hope not many more fall into arrears. The trend is downwards, and long may it continue.
Thank you, Councillor Barclay. 10.6, leisure centres. Councillor Julie Bradshaw, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make your statement?
Yes, please, Madam Mayor. I'd like to thank the lead member and officers for the reply, but you've not quite addressed the concerns I've raised. As a regular user of Loughborough Leisure Centre, I hear on a daily basis from other users comments about this, and it seems some displeasure about pieces of, for example, gym equipment that used to be there that are no longer there. Perhaps it would be useful to get customer feedback on this and also other aspects of the centre. It appears that money hasn't been invested into the swimming pool, and even after the fire some time ago, certain pieces of the equipment haven't run properly. The water temperature has been very, very poor for many months, users complaining on a regular basis. And I'm told by senior management at Fusion that parts have been ordered to rectify this after initially patching it up, but when? There are still issues on the circulating pumps, for example, and other security problems such as lockers. Some require a person to actually bring their own lock, whilst others in the swimming pool have a key provided by the centre on a coin returnable basis. With all facilities, investment must be made on a continual basis to keep it in top working order. Look, for example, at the Charnwood College swimming pool that's now under the potential closure due to lack of wise investment, which Councillor Baldwin and myself are campaigning against to keep it open. In the past, barriers have been successful in preventing unlawful entry, yet none are there now permanently. The car parks in town have these, so why not at Loughborough Leisure Centre? So my question, please, is with only 2 years left on the contract, could the lead member look into enhancing their user experience, i.e. having a new, efficient and reliable water and air quality system, such as boilers, temperature controls and lockers with a consistent system that's secure throughout to include better CCTV outside to prevent damage, theft and any problems, and how can all members input into this process? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Bradshaw. Councillor Harper-Davis, would you like to respond?
Very much, Madam Mayor. Thank you very much, Councillor Bradshaw. I'm a little bit confused because the question you actually wrote for Council aren't really the features that you've mentioned or the questions you've mentioned within your question here vocally aren't actually in your question, which is addressed to myself and to the lead officers. I do know there's been several issues regarding water temperature, and I think it's quite difficult because what suits one doesn't suit another. And there's regulations regarding the water temperatures we know. We have, there has been a pump on order regarding the water temperature, but I'm just a bit confused because the questions, all of the things you've mentioned within right now aren't necessarily in your question for Council. But what I do suggest is you take these questions back to the officers and myself, and we'll do our best to address them. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
The question still related to the swimming pool, and so did not have to follow the initial question. Okay. Item 10.7 is social housing. Councillor Bolton, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make your statement?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and I'd like to thank the lead member and the officers for their response. At this point in time, I don't have anything to add to that. Thank you.
You wish to respond?
Councillor Bolton, you're always happy to come and have a chat to me about social housing at any point. Thank you.
Crimes. Councillor Gerrard. Sorry, Goddard. It's all right, that was getting there.
Close.
Councillor
Goddard, would you like to ask your supplementary question? Thank you. Firstly, I'd like to commend the work of the JAG and all the agencies involved. The support that they've been given to those most at risk is completely invaluable. I'd also like to extend my praise to our Police and Crime Commissioner, Willie Beck, for the work that he's been doing to tackle this and the wider issue of ASB. It's a real testament to what can be achieved when Labour is in power, particularly following 9 years of cuts to youth services, schools and the police under Conservative government. The Taxi Driver News, published in August 2019, included information on county line gangs. Can this information be published further to ensure that the wider community are aware of the nature of the gangs and the signs that a child is being exploited?
Thank you, Councillor Goddard. Councillor Taylor, do you wish to respond?
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you to Councillor Goddard for your question and also for your praise for Community Safety Partnership. It's doing really well at the moment. Overall crime has reduced by 3.1% since April 2019. I'm sure you're also all aware about Operation Lionheart, where 59 individuals within the Charnwood area and 48 addresses were targeted. And we had a lot of follow-up work to do from that with vulnerable people, which we've coped with extremely well at very short notice. Just in answer to your question, that the police, our media team here, the Community Safety Partnership are out and about doing media, stalls in the market. We're all over the place in schools, so a huge amount of information is shared within the community. But, you know, if you've got any other suggestions for how we can progress that even more, because the more people are aware of it, the more people are able to spot the signs and report that to the relevant authorities. So if you'd like to email me the details, I'm quite happy to look at that.
Thank you, Councillor Taylor. 10.9 is building new council housing. Councillor Ward, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make your statement?
Yes, I would. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Firstly, I'd like to thank the lead member and the officers for the response. In the report to Cabinet from December 2008 that is referred to in the response to my initial question, it states that a draft business plan setting out the objectives and potential financial commitment of the Housing Development Company will be brought back to Cabinet in 2019. The high-level costs of setting up such a company are outlined on page 24 of the investment strategy, and the Housing Development Company is referenced on page 28, where it states that details are still not available. I'd just like to ask if the draft business plan is in the process of being prepared, if it has been brought before Cabinet, and when it will be brought before full council. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ward. Councillor Morgan, do you wish to respond?
Councillor Ward, I was hoping you were going to ask me something about architecture instead, so I could actually give you a very, very good answer. As far as the additional paper is concerned, you have seen the investment strategy which came to this meeting, which has set out a slightly wider remit for how we can actually invest in housing within the borough. Slightly probably supersedes the paper from 2018 in the sense that it actually adds a bit more depth in the series of figures and money as to the sort of values that we're looking to invest in housing, potentially invest in housing. And as far as the actual category of that housing, again, we're trying to stay as flexible as possible because we want to actually give ourselves as much freedom as possible to invest in the right type of accommodation. But we are actively trying to pursue various options, schemes, existing applications that possibly need a bit of help, and we hope to actually bring those forward as and when they're possible. But by all means, at any point, ask me questions about architecture as well. Thank you.
This isn't about grand designs, is it? No. Right, item 10.10, extreme weather events and homelessness. Councillor Baldwin, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make your statement?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have a brief supplementary question. I'd like to thank the member for his reply, and it would be helpful to know the total number of emergency places available to house rough sleepers under the SWEP and the length of time they are allowed to be accommodated for. And if the figures aren't available tonight, I'd be grateful if they could be circulated to the members in the council. Thank you.
Would you like to respond?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll certainly let you have those figures, but certainly we've never had an issue of not having sufficient accommodation when the SWP is implemented, and that's implemented when the temperature drops below zero for three nights or more. I don't think we experience extreme weather in Charnwood, certainly under the IPCC definition of extreme weather. What we do have is severe weather. Also, this is it's a bit of confusion here because the problem is not homeless people who we do house in temporary accommodation, but it's the rough sleepers. And I've been out for the past 3 years when the weather's got very cold, speaking to people on the streets, and I've yet to find anybody that we have not actually taken account of or that provision has not been made for. But, Madam Mayor, each year we do a rough sleeper count, and that's when a group of volunteers and some councillors, last year it was myself, Councillor Parton, and Councillor Hunt went out to actually look at areas where we find rough sleepers to actually do a count. And 1 year we found zero, last year we found three. What I would like to do is perhaps invite Councillor Baldwin to actually join us this year on our count. I can't publicise the date, but I've always invited the Labour group to send one or two along to help. But if you'd like to come along, we meet up at midnight and we have quite a good fun night going around Charnwood looking at all these nooks and crannies. So you're more than welcome to come. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Mercer. Right, it's now 10.11, energy efficient standards for new buildings. Councillor Needham, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make your statement?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to make quite a brief follow-up question, please. Thank you to the lead member for the response. I do appreciate that in this new draft local plan, there is a chapter which encourages higher energy efficiency standards. But I think it would be great if we could have a bit more of a robust policy on that. I think there are other councils that have made headway on this issue, so I'd really appreciate it if the lead member would speak to me at a later date about how we could perhaps follow those examples and go a bit further on this issue. Thank you.
Councillor Hunt, would you like to respond?
Thank you very much indeed, Councillor Needham, for your question. And absolutely, I'm perfectly happy to meet with you whenever you'd like to. If I could just refer everybody else to the draft local plan. The consultation started today and it's till the 16th of December. LP 30 refers to the points that Councillor Needham refers to, which is on page 102. It is quite detailed there, but I do understand if there are other things that we could look at, then that's exactly what the draft local plan is for and the consultation behind that. And obviously, given your championship role, I'd be very appreciative of your points. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hunt. Going on to 10.12, allotments. Councillor Forrest, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make your statement?
I'd like to make a statement, please, Madam Mayor. First of all, I would like to thank the lead member for her very positive response to my question. And I would also like to thank her for taking this matter, dealing with this matter with the seriousness it deserves. It is of great importance to many allotment holders in the borough, but I'm talking mostly about Loughborough, of course. I would be more than happy to meet the lead member, Councillor Boker, to discuss CCTV and other security matters, and I thank her for her invitation. I would point out, though, that the allotment holders in my ward are more in favour of a moat with crocodiles. But that may be going... That may not be within the council's budget. I do appreciate that. However, what I would really also like to say is the other place where this matter can be discussed is at the Loughborough Area Committee, where every member in this chamber who represents a Loughborough ward would have the opportunity to discuss, to debate and come to a decision about this matter that is of interest across the borough. So, yes, please, Councillor Boker, I would very much like to meet you to discuss this, but I would also like to see it on the next agenda of the Loughborough Area Committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Forrest. Councillor Boker, would you like to respond?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I do take it seriously, Councillor Forrest, and I will tomorrow set that meeting up with you. And I suggest we go through each allotment individually because matters will differ from allotment to allotment. If you then feel it needs to go to area committee, then by all means, we can add it to the agenda.
Thank you.
Thank you. 10.13, food poverty and the rollout of universal credit. Councillor Brennan, would you like to ask your supplementary question or make your statement?
Both, please. I'd just like to say I'm shocked, really, to be having to ask this question in the 21st century. I began working with vulnerable adults 15 years ago in 2004, and I encountered poverty, I encountered some homelessness. I didn't encounter hunger. When I met people who were having to apply for benefits, if there was a gap between when they applied and when they were going to receive it, they could get a social fund loan. It seemed just obvious and normal that hunger was a thing of the past. I asked the leader whether he concurred with the Trussell Trust analysis regarding the causes of the increased need for food banks and the relationship to universal credit.
Councillor Morgan, I felt that your response was a little equivocal, so just... Oh, I'm sorry. My apologies. My sincere apologies. So I did feel it was a little equivocal, and I just wanted to read out that... The Trussell Trust analysis in 2018 showed a 52% average increase in food bank use 12 months after universal credit rolled out in an area. Food banks not in universal credit areas or that had only had the system up for 3 months showed an average increase of 13%. So it was really quite a remarkable difference between those areas. Thank you to the lead members, to the lead officers for the figures in the response. I note that 650 families within 1 month needed help from a food bank in Charnwood. As my supplementary question, I wonder if the lead officer for this area could perhaps provide the council by email with equivalent data for the previous 5 years. That would be very helpful. And just finally to say that I really look forward to, and I hope very soon, a government that will end this stain on our conscience. Thank you.
On over your time. Thank you. Councillor Barclay, would you like to respond?
I think it's very emotive. There's no member in this council who wants to see people hungry. The world, unfortunately, is very diverse. Even Leicestershire is very diverse. You can see the work that this council has done. We've supported 18 local projects. We have helped 650 people, not families, and 18 local projects. I don't think trying to gain political capital by this sort of question is particularly helpful. This council needs to be helping these people. We are members of the Charnwood Food Poverty Group. Officers meet to support that. They coordinate food from supermarkets to go to people. It isn't just universal credit. There are many, many factors involved in this. I commend the work of this council. I personally back everything we've done to help people. I cannot guarantee we'll be able to provide 5 years' figures. Really, that isn't going to help the people who are hungry throughout the world, throughout Leicestershire and throughout England. But what I can assure you is this council takes it very seriously. We try to make this an area of wealth. It's one of the least deprived areas within England. It's not. We do have pockets of deprivation, and we will work tirelessly to ensure there are not people hungry. But we will not take political capital and try and blame someone else. There are many, many factors involved. But rest assured, we will do everything we can to help these people.
Thank you, Councillor Barclay. Item 11 is for minute references. There are no minute references. I am now moving on to item 12, urgent executive decisions exempt from call-in, acquisition of properties, page 43. This is a report to inform the Council of decisions which were exempt from call-in in accordance with Scrutiny Committee Procedure 11.9. If any councillors would like to ask a question, please indicate your wish to do so by pressing your buttons. Councillor Draycott.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. You're doing very well to last so long. Labour Group members previously have been very critical about this particular policy and about the type of properties being purchased. However, tonight we have a report that confirms that 4 two-bedroomed properties have actually been purchased. And I do hope that those on the waiting list who have suffered the draconian bedroom tax and desperate to downsize will have priority. The benefit of doing this, of course, is that their properties will be offered to families as well, and therefore 8 households will gain. Labour Group are very pleased that at long last we see 2-bedroom properties being purchased
and look forward to more being purchased as well, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Draycott. Councillor Morgan, would you like to respond?
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor, and thank you very much for the Labour Group's full support. Thank you.
Now moving to item 13, urgent executive decisions exempted from call-in member grant scheme. This is a report to inform the council of a decision which were exempted from a call-in in accordance with scrutiny committee procedure 11.9. I am sorry. If any councillors would like to ask the question, please indicate your wish to do so by pressing your button. You've made me say all that and nobody wants to speak. Okay, I'm now moving on to item 14, appointments to committees. I call on Councillor Poland to make a proposal.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, I move that Councillor Gerard be appointed to the Housing, Planning, Regeneration and Regulatory Services Scrutiny Committee for the reasons set out on that page.
Councillor Morgan.
Madam Mayor, almost there, Madam Mayor. I second this and reserve my right.
To speak, please press your buttons. Councillor Morgan. Thank you. I call upon Councillor Poland to sum up.
Nothing further to add, Madam Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. I am now putting the motion to the vote. Could I see all those in favour? Tentative, that. All those against? Any abstentions? The motion has been carried. Oh, yes. I am not... Sorry, I've got it written down here as well. It's not on yellow, though. I am not aware of any other committee appointments. However, if there are any, press your button now. I dare you. That is the close of business for today. But, however, I would like to say this is our last meeting before Christmas. Shock, horror. Okay, I'm hoping to see you all on Remembrance Parade, but I do understand you will be at your villages. And I would like to wish everybody a happy Christmas and a very successful New Year. Thank you.
And to you, Madam.
Thank you.
You did incredibly well, considering. Well done.
Thank you very much.